I was just thinking, as Brother Yogi and Brother Robert were talking about, you think about the impact of somebody's life, but one of the things that pretty obvious is that he impacted fellow ministers by the way that he conducted himself in during the years that he was in ministry so much, and always encouraging, always had some theological point that he, as Brother Robert just said, that he would want to run past you and talk about, and just challenge you to be the very best that that you could be. And so there's a lot of I'm sure besides us, there's a lot of pastors and people in ministry that he influenced over the years. You know, when we come to a time like this, it's you know, it's easy to think about eternity when you come to a time like this, because it's very real to us, right in front of us, that life is very brief at best, and it's very uncertain. And so we stop and think about eternity. Life is so busy otherwise. We stay so busy, always on the move, always on the go, that you usually don't stop to think about eternity that often. The Bible says in Daniel that in the last days people will run to and fro on the earth, and we can certainly see that in our day. We can see the traffic. You know, sometimes I live in Grand Bay, and sometimes I'll be there, my wife and I'll be driving, and I'll just say to her, "What is this, New York City? You know, there's just so much traffic that's there." And so we live busy lives. I think it's one of the chief tools of the enemy. That he wants to keep us busy so that we don't stop and think about what really matters. And then we come to a day like this. And I know Brother Rick well enough to know that what he would want us to focus on is eternity. And so I've selected this scripture verse just to sort of get started today. It's James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And there God's word says this: "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit,' whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that.' But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." I want to talk for just a very few minutes, and we're not going to keep you long, but I want to talk about appointments after this life. To help us think about eternity and what comes after this life, I want to talk about appointments after this life. We have many appointments in this life. We've got doctor's appointments, dentist appointments. We have meetings that we have to go to. We have deadlines that we have to have something completed by a certain deadline. We all know April 15th is a deadline that we have to meet every year. Modern people are so busy, we have to have calendars and taskmasters on our phones to help us keep track with all there is to do and all the appointments that we have. And as we get older, it seems like we need reminders more than we've ever needed before. But what I want us to focus on this afternoon are six appointments that occur after this life. There are appointments that every person has, and especially as we talk about believers, there are appointments that we have after this life. The first one is this: appointment with death. We all have an appointment with death. If Jesus tarries in his coming, we have an appointment one day with death. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." In Romans 3:12, it says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." I don't want to ever read that part of that verse without reading the second half, though, because it says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." In Genesis chapter 5, you have genealogies that are given there, the genealogy of Adam, really, of all mankind. And at the end of each person that's mentioned there, it states how long they lived and then that they died. It says, "And he died." Adam lived 930 years. Now, the Bible says that. I believe he lived 930 years. There were some reasons in the atmosphere here on earth that allowed people to live longer in those days. But 930 years he lived. But at the end of his life, it says, and he died. Methuselah lived longer than anyone else, 969 years, and he died. Joshua said, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. Joshua had many feats that he had accomplished in his lifetime, but there came a day where he pulled his feet up into the bed and said, I'm going the way of all the earth. David in Psalm 23 said that life is lived in the valley of the shadow of death. And in Psalm 90, it says that our days are numbered by God. It's not something that we like to think about, but there is a date on the calendar out there somewhere in the future, if Jesus tarries in his coming, that has our name written on that date. And so we all have an appointment with death. Christians have an appointment with death, non-Christians, believers, non-believers, saved and lost. We all have an appointment with death. Psalm 90:12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And that just simply means so that we will know how to live our lives with spiritual wisdom in the days that God has given us to live, an appointment with death. Secondly, there's an appointment in the presence of the Lord. Because when a person dies, Paul said in the New Testament, he said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And he said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so the body sleeps and the spirit and the soul go into the very presence of the Lord. And I believe that's where Rick is right now. I believe that's where he went immediately when he died without delay, into that place of unmingled joy, uninterrupted spiritual peace and joy. Because as Brother Yogi just reminded us a minute ago, that those verses in Romans 10, 9 and 10, there had come a time in his life where he trusted in the death of Christ and only in the death of Christ for his salvation. David said in Psalm 16:11, he said, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. One of Rick's favorite verses, Ethel told me, is Romans 11:29, which says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. And so there came that day where God gave Rick the gift of salvation, gave him eternal life. And the scripture says those who have eternal life will never perish. And so Rick's in the presence of the Lord right now. Listen to what this verse says about that. It says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And so we can have rejoicing this afternoon. Rick, in the later years of his life, as Ethel wrote in his obituary, that he had health problems, had a lot of disappointments, a lot of things that came in those last years of his life. But I can tell you this, Rick was never let go of by the Lord that he trusted for his salvation. The Lord had Rick in his hand, and nothing can take one of the Lord's chosen out of his hand. The third appointment that we all have is with the resurrection. In the book of Acts, it says there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. The just are those who are believers who have been justified by the blood of Christ. They've put their faith and trust in Christ, and they've been made right with God based on the blood of Christ. And when the resurrection comes, it's talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But for the unjust, for unbelievers, the Bible says something else. It says the sea will give up the dead, death and hell will give up the dead which are in them, and they will be coming to face God in judgment at the great white throne judgment. Jesus said, the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear my voice and come forth, some to the resurrection of life and some to the resurrection of eternal condemnation. Could I ask you this afternoon, do you have assurance of which judgment you will be at? Will you be at the judgment, the great white throne judgment that we've just read about, or will you be at that judgment where at the resurrection you will stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. That leads us to the next appointment that we have, and that is with judgment. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And again, there's a contrast there between believers and unbelievers. Believers will stand before the Lord to give an account for how they've lived their Christian life, and they will be given rewards for those things that were done in the name of Christ. The Bible says even a cup of cold water given in the name of Christ will not go unrewarded. And I think about Rick standing there in that chapel at the Waterfront Rescue Mission as those homeless men came by him, and the encouragement and the blessing that he gave to each one of those. You'd had to have been there to see it and to understand what I'm talking about. But what a moving thing it was to see him minister in the name of Christ to those men. And I believe in spite of everything, Rick will hear his Lord and Savior say someday, "Well done," because of the good that he had done in the name of Christ in his life. For the unbeliever, there's that great white throne judgment where they will stand condemned before God. They'll have a momentary reprieve from hell, the scripture says, but then judgment will be pronounced, and they'll spend all eternity separated from God in the place that God has prepared for the devil and his angels. There's a fifth appointment that it's only for believers. And it's one that we don't usually think about, but it's this. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Have you heard of the marriage supper of the Lamb in the New Testament? Well, the marriage supper of the Lamb is spoken about in Revelation 19:9. And it says, "Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And the Lord said to John, who was writing this, "These are true sayings of God." In Luke 12:37, the Bible says, "The Lord shall gird himself and make us sit down and will come forth and serve us." Now, we only know so much about this imagery that's given of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if Rick was here, he could probably straighten me out on my theology about this. But I'm going to share with you what I think. And he's listening, and so he can straighten me out as soon as I get to heaven. Of course, I'll know by that time what was right. But I believe the marriage supper of the Lamb, the imagery there is taken from the Jewish marriage ceremony. And in that Jewish marriage ceremony, there would be a week of celebration prior to the actual consummation of the marriage. And I believe that that is a picture, especially when you draw in some things that are in the Old Testament and you begin to put all the pieces together. And it's not easy to do, but I think that what it represents, this is what I believe, I think it represents that time on earth that will come someday that's known as the millennial reign of Christ, the thousand-year reign of Christ, which I believe will be a literal reign on this earth. And it's a celebration time. It's before the consummation of the bride of Christ being fully, having that marriage with Christ being fully consummated. And that time will come, but there's going to be a time on this earth of perfect peace. There will be a time on this earth of perfect rest. All the turmoil that's in the world today, you know, the politicians talk about peace, but there's never any peace. But praise the Lord, when the Prince of Peace comes, when Jesus Christ comes to this earth, there will be peace on earth. And those who know the Lord as Savior, we will be here. The Bible says we will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. There's a lot of explanations that people try to just explain that away. But I believe it's a day coming when Jesus Christ will reign on this earth, and it will be a time of rest and peace and joy and comfort for all believers. And there's one final appointment that we have, and that's the appointment to enter a new city. That's the eternal state. That's after everything is over, and we enter into that eternal state in the presence of Christ. And it's spoken about in Revelation 21. Verses 1 through 4. And I'd like to just read that to you. John the Apostle writing, and he says this, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. And there shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, we're passing through this life. We have many appointments in this life. But there's coming a day when we'll have even more important appointments. And that's the appointments that come after this life. And I would just ask you this. Are you prepared for eternity? We slow down for just a few moments at a time like this. But even by later this afternoon, life will begin to speed up again. But in the quietness of this chapel this afternoon, would you just think about your own condition before God? Would you think about where you stand with God? Are you related to God through His Son, Jesus Christ? That's the only way to be prepared for eternity. Jesus Himself said, "No man comes to the Father except through me." And so why don't you think and prepare for eternity even this afternoon? There's an old hymn that the church used to sing. I don't hear it sung very much anymore, but I want to just read the words to this hymn as I close today. It's an old hymn. Some of you will know this, I'm sure. Face to Face is the name of the hymn. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. Only faintly now I see Him, with the darkening veil between. But a blessed day is coming, when His glory shall be seen. What rejoicing in His presence, when are banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened, and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face, O blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Would you bow for prayer with me? Father, these appointments that we've talked about this afternoon, for believers, it's a great comfort. It's a great comfort for us to think about the appointments we have in your presence after this life. But Lord, I think Rick would want me to ask this congregation that's gathered here today, maybe we are all believers here today, but if there's even one person here who's never trusted Christ, I think he would want me to impress upon them how important it is to be prepared for eternity. And so, Lord, I pray if there's even one person here who does not know you, that by your Spirit and by your power, you would do that work that only you could do, and you would draw that one or those several who may be here apart from you, you would draw them all the way to saving faith today. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.